Subscribe to Kentucky Crazies on iTunes. Find us on Facebook and at Kentucky Crazies on Twitter. You can call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287.
From the friendly confines of the KentuckyCrazies.com studios, located in the heart of the Big Blue Planet.
Listen up.
It's time to talk all things Kentucky Crazy.
Listen up.
With your hosts, Mike Hicks and Aaron Newton.
Listen up.
You people are crazy.
Hello, Kentucky Crazies. We're going to talk a little UK Louisville recap. Grayson Allen be tripping. And we're going to talk some Christmas stuff, too. So come back for some happy, happy, joy, joy Christmas fun.
John Calipari, New York Times best-selling author. Success is the only option. The Art of Coaching Extreme Talent. The new book from John Calipari. Pre-order yours today. Release date, November 15th, 2016. Pre-order your copy today from KentuckyCrazies.com.
All right, Kentucky Crazies, as always, with the voice not built for radio, Mike Hicks. To my left, at KyCrazyAaron. And we are going to try to have the Christmas spirit today after the debacle in the Yum Center, the chicken bucket. And we're going to talk, of course, do a little recap, what went wrong, what could go right, moving forward, all that. How you doing, Aaron?
That sucked.
You said it. It did suck.
It was awful. I mean, you know, we raced home from Memphis because, you know, we were in Memphis for a few days for a little Christmas vacation with the family. Saw Andrew Harrison play. Had my pick with Walter McCarty.
Yeah, we posted a picture of you guys,
great
you and your
time.
Wife, Sherry.
Great time. I thank Walter for doing that. It was very courteous for him to come do that because he is working at the time. Did get Andrew's attention a few times. Sadly, James Young, he had an illness, so he wasn't even on the floor. But again, back to the Louisville debacle. We did race home. I got home at 10 after tip, and you know, and it was still a game then. It,
it was always a game, you know.
Even at the end, yeah, it was.
There was a lot of lead changes throughout, and basically, that couple of the headlines would be, we couldn't hit a shot, and everybody believed going into the game that it was going to be their defense, which is number one in the nation, against one of the top offense in the nation, and what was going to win out. And it, up to that point, Louisville wasn't going to score enough points to beat us, and we could easily score. Not easily score, because they have a great defense, and we couldn't hit shots.
No. Derek Willis missed two that I know of. I know it was more than that. Probably three or four wide open shots. If he hit two of those, we win.
I was talking about what Louisville tries to do with their defense, and they switch it up, obviously, a lot. They'll go from a zone to a man, sometimes in the same possession. But the whole point, no matter what they're throwing at you, is to speed you up and to get you in a position to take shots that you're not comfortable taking, a rush shot. And quite frankly, the open looks that we had, there were some that were like that. But that was not the majority of them.
No, I was specifically saying Derek Willis, though, because the ones he had, he was wide open. You know,
oh, yeah.
I'm
agreeing with you on that.
But, what you're saying is overall was we didn't. You see Monk was really forcing a lot of his shots that he – you know, the last game, the Carolina game, we said he didn't take any bad shots at all. I could recall one. A lot of the shots in the Louisville game were bad shots for him instead of looking – to pass the ball, move it around. And how many times have we come down to basically close to the shot clock running out on us? You know, we haven't seen that all year long.
We had a couple tier three violations on that. I think another issue was Fox was not prepared, and this isn't his fault, but I don't want to say prepared. He wasn't ready for the physicality of what Louisville brings. And it wasn't like kind of classic hack push shove, but it was physical, And there was a lot of times where the ball would squirt out of Fox's hands when he would go into the lane. Well, there was a body on him. There's an arm on him. And I don't think he was prepared for that type of defense. And because Fox is a great ball handler. He's a great guard. He's going to be great. But like I said, we showed our youth, and I know that's a broken record sometimes, but it's overuse. I think last night, first true road game.
Oh, it was valid.
It was valid last night.
Yeah, they made us look young. Like I said, they rushed us. We looked young with all the turnovers. That's probably some of the worst turnovers we've had all season, especially Fox. You know, he had, I don't remember what he ended up with, but it was.
He had more turnovers than assists.
Yeah.
And I think, again, their defense was something that it's hard to prepare for, and we weren't able to make the plays in the half court. We weren't able to get enough rebounds and outlet passes to get the fast breaks going. And, I mean, you got to give them credit because in the second half especially, we were playing their game. At halftime, we were playing our game, 40-30, even though it was close, 40-39. That score is our score.
Oh, yeah.
The second half, it got dirty, muddy, nasty, and that's what they want. They have to bring it down in their dirt in order to beat you.
It was the exact opposite of the Carolina game. You know, Carolina, everything was moving fluent. You know, you can say there's not a lot of defense, but even though I still say there was, just this game, we knew playing at the Chum Bucket that it was going to be, they were going to be able to do what they were going to do, you know, which is what they did. They hike and hold and push and put a body on you, which is normally supposed to be a foul. But, you know, we got away with a lot of that as well. Just it seemed to hurt us more.
I felt like we started to do that more in the second half. And, again, that's what they were trying to pull us in,
yeah,
you know, on that style of play. And I think something to talk about is we are, in the Cal era, we are 2-6. In their first true road game of the season. And I don't think that is much, shouldn't be much of a surprise considering every year we're starting with a brand new group of guys mostly. And
that first true road game is usually a very difficult game.
Indiana in 2012, we all know what happened there.
Yeah.
You know, popcorn boxes were made, you know, so, you know, of course we know what that team went on to do. So, you lose by 3 against a top 10 team on their home court in the first true road game. That's the silver lining here. Okay? Because come March, come April, hopefully there is an April, we're going to be, I think our ceiling is higher than their ceiling.
Yeah, yes, our ceiling is much higher, and I would assume that Louisville fans would agree with that. I had texted with one after the game and just told him to enjoy their win, basically, and that and he commented back. He said Fox and Monk are amazing, and he said Bam is just an ox, which he is. I think he learned some things that he can do last night. I think we should have done that more
last night. That was my biggest complaint, and 4 or 5 times throughout the game I said very calmly and quietly, literally 4 or 5 times, I said, if we don't get the ball to Bam more, we're going to be talking about this later.
Yeah.
And then with about 4 or 5 minutes left, I said, we're going to be talking about this later.
I wasn't saying it as calmly. I was basically screaming at the TV, get the ball to Bam, especially when the Egyptian, I can't think of his
name. I never know his name,
Mahmoud,
the Egyptian. Yep.
Was something like Mahmoud that.
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
But he had no business guarding Bam. As big, as tall as he is, anytime Bam got the ball around the basket, it was a dunk. And it wasn't just a dunk. It was a monstrous dunk. And those are the things that Bam can do. He can't shoot free throws. Free throws hurt us big time. You know, you lose by 3. We missed, I think, 10 free throws.
Yeah, and they all came late, too. Yeah, something that I was thinking about, too, like after the game, a couple of go-to lines, and I've got a follow-up on this, too, but it's, you know, fans say two things that really aggravate me in a loss, and it's one of them is, they say a lot of things, but a go-to line is, well, the other team just wanted it more. I saw that quite a bit on Twitter last night, at, you know, during the game and later. Well, Louisville just wanted it more. And the other one is, well, Cal just got out coached. Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to point to the, I want to talk about the Bam thing. And I go back to the Wisconsin game. I know it hurts, but I hear a lot of people talk about Tyler Eulis should have been in that game during the final part of the game. Well, the Twins got us to that point, and Cal had a certain rhythm to the way he had. This is the part of the game where the Twins were in. Well, that wasn't the issue. The issue was he screamed repeatedly. He told them in the huddle repeatedly, get the ball to Carl, because no one could stop Carl underneath. Well, Cal can't go out there and take the ball from Andrew and go and hand it to Carl, okay? Would Tyler have gotten it to Carl better? Maybe. But that's not really the point. He was telling Andrew to do it, okay? So Cal didn't get out-coached, and it wasn't that Tyler should have been in. And I love Andrew. We just talked about him. I love him. But I'm saying it's not Coach Cal's fault when he's screaming, get the ball to Carl. Well, he said last night, he told him in the huddle, we need to get the ball to Bam more, okay? Well, then they shimmy and take an 18-footer that front rims, and then there's a fast break the other way. Did they get the ball to Bam? That's not getting out coached. That's the kids not executing. But the thing about Cal is, post-game, my fault.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I noticed that right off the bat as well. He said that they're not disciplined right now, and basically it's exactly what he said. He said, and it's my fault for letting it happen. So I think that hopefully we'll see a change in that. You know, I'm not saying necessarily the ball's going to go to Bam every time, because we don't want that. But even when he didn't score, good things happened when the ball went to Bam. You know, one time Mulder was on the floor. The ball went into Bam, automatically double-teamed off of Mulder. Mulder was wide open for a three. Those are the things that happen when you get the ball to Bam.
Exactly. And I think this is going to really help us moving forward. Because another thing about Cal's teams are, before Christmas, I think he largely relies upon the talent. And he always, you know, practices the lobs at the rim, get out and run. He has those same things built in, because guess what? Every kid coming in can quickly pick those things up. And when you're playing the non-traditional teams, you know, the bad teams, we're going to win those games. When you play the good teams, you can also win those games by playing that way. Now is when execution starts to kick in. He's got their attention. Did we want to win those games? Absolutely. But guess what? Now you get it to Bam, right? So now he can start putting a little bit more. He never runs an X and O style, this, do this, do this, do this. But he can start getting more detailed in his teaching. And I'm starting to understand that that's what he's doing. Before Christmas, talent wins. After Christmas, talent wins with execution.
And I believe we can put the rest, the big debate now of this being one of the best defensive teams he's had. Because I don't think, I mean, we still have a long way to go. But as of now, it's at least at the middle of his classes or teams that he's had here at Kentucky. It's nowhere near the top.
It's not. It's, I'd say, upper middle half.
And a lot of that may be too because of the discipline thing. You know, they're not disciplined in their stances and in their, you know, where they're supposed to be and their team help and things like that. You know, on the backdoor lob that they had against us, Monk and Gabriel got confused to who was supposed to be where. And I believe it was Gabriel's fault, because you saw Cal right after that point at him, the typical get out.
You're out.
Yeah, so it was Gabriel, I'm sure, but still, that's the communication between the two of them there that's not there as of now. You mentioned it wasn't, you know, people like to blame the coach and he was out coached, and there are some personnel issues, I guess you'd say, that I have an issue with at times. As big as Louisville was, you know, we were right with them in rebounding, but still, the four spot is a huge disadvantage for us in any big game that we've had so far. You know, UCLA lost, it killed us. Even Carolina, they took big advantage of us at the four spot. The Louisville game, it hurt us. Now, I don't know why we can't put Bam at the four and play Isaac at the five. I think Isaac could have stayed with Mathien, you know, and the, again, the Egyptian, of lack of a better word for him.
He walks like one. I know that.
But, you know, why can't we do that? Put Bam at the four, then that problem is solved. You know, there any other team's four is not going to be able to guard Bam either.
I like that. And I think Cal is still actually trying to figure out some you know, personnel things like you talked about.
I think he's stuck on Isaac being the backup to Bam. And that's not really what I know we lose a backup there, but you have Sasha who hasn't played in a while. Isaac didn't even play in the second half yesterday. I don't think Wenyon is our answer at four. Derek is playing better. He rebounded the ball really well last night. His defense is still not there, and his shooting is hurting right now. He hasn't shot the ball well in several games.
Yeah, I agree with that. I really think, again, I mean, he's been relying on the talent, and it's there. And I'm not 100% sure if Cal is 100% sure what the rotation might be. The good news is there's options here, because none of those guys, I think we've got four really good players. Really, really, really good players. And then the question mark is, what do we do with those when you add in some level of the other three to four guys? You know, that's something that hadn't been determined yet. I think
Cal gets too much of a loyalty to certain players. Now, you mentioned the Wisconsin game with the Harrison twins, and he admitted later that he was loyal to them. And at times that hurts us. And I think right now it's Briscoe. He's really, really loyal to Briscoe. And there's times when he really should not be on the floor.
Let me ask you this. This is something that I thought about as well along those lines. Michael Mulder can't guard very well.
No.
But last night's game, or if you're listening to this on Saturday, the Louisville game, we needed offense. Malik wasn't hitting, etc. And when Mulder was in there, he was hitting, you know, he was hitting a couple shots. And he's gotten to the point now where I don't think he really hurts you out there. You know, there are certain players that you just can't have on the court. Mulder's not in that mix. And I wonder if, without naming other players, a little bit of that loyalty thing that you just mentioned, where maybe Mulder isn't in that mix, and that's why he doesn't get the minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, we're talking about this without seeing practices, and, yeah, you know, we don't know what goes on in the classrooms and things like that. So we're
fans like you, just talking about it.
We're basically just talking about what we see and what we feel, and especially, you know, at the very last play of the game last night, Briscoe was in the game. We needed a three to tie the game. That was the only chance we had was to hit a three. Now, obviously, the play was going to Monk.
Even if there's a decoy out there, Briscoe's on the bench, and then there's a decoy.
If something happens and Monk falls down, we can't get the ball to him. We want Briscoe taking that shot? I don't think so.
Well, if he hits it, I do.
Oh, yeah. But
I think that's where Cal is. That's where he's not going to be. If he sits Briscoe down, then that's telling Briscoe, you're not the one that's going to hit the shot. Well, what if he does hit the shot later? I'm just playing devil's advocate there. You know, that's where Cal is that way.
But if that, you know, the last, however much time there was, 10.4, I think is what it was, I want Monk on the floor, I want Mulder on the floor, and I want Willis on the floor.
I might even want Dominique on the floor.
And I think he may have been. Was I'm not sure. There? But still, I want somebody that's capable of that I'm confident in hitting a three. I'm not confident in Briscoe hitting a three.
You know who I didn't want on the floor who was? It was Bam.
Bam, yeah.
Because if Monk had hit that shot, you know what the conversation would be right now? Why didn't Patino foul Bam? That would be the conversation.
I don't know why he didn't foul Briscoe as soon as the ball came in. You know, got
well, Briscoe
court.
Was hitting.
Well, but still, they were up three. we have this conversation all the time.
True, yeah,
they're
foul.
Up three. Briscoe's bringing the ball up the court. Why was he not fouled at half court?
100%. Whether it was foul Bam, if we're say
because we got a good look.
Yeah, we did. We did. Yeah. That's how we're sitting here analyzing Cal, but that's how small of a line it is where Monk hits the shot, we win in overtime, then the conversation is Rick can't coach because he didn't do
exactly.
XYZ. And that's how, again, we just gave some information. Again, it may not, you know, you can disagree with this, but it wasn't Cal got out coached.
Oh, no.
That's not the comment. The comment is a little more involved than that. You know, give me some information. And whenever somebody mentions that the other team just wanted it more, well, they've obviously never, I've never played in a game, but can you not tell that our kids wanted it?
Yeah, that's always been silly to me to say that. If they're on the floor, you know, professional athletes, college athletes, if they're there for that reason, and they want that game. They didn't want to lose Louisville.
No, they don't want to lose. They all know, and that's another thing, too, that fans from both sides don't understand. These kids know each other from other places, and they're competitive in their own little world that isn't even Kentucky Louisville.
Yeah, they play in the AAU circuits.
They want to beat each other.
They know each other. And even though it's freshmen on the team, they know the rivalry. They've seen the talk, you know. And, you know, they did the L's down in the McDonald's game picture. And so it's there with them. And nobody's going to tell me they didn't want it.
I'm going to close this segment with a little bit of a rant, and you can chime in if you want or whatever, if you have a rant. I'm trying to shake off the Debbie Downer from the loss, but I will have to say this, and you don't have to like it, but Cal in his post game was gracious. He was classy. He represented the Commonwealth's team by crediting that Louisville played well. He said they have a good coach. They have a Hall of Famer coach. He said the crowd was amazing, and he said this was good for them, and, you know, enjoy them. Merry Christmas as he walked off the thing. Well, you know what? Last year, in contrast, the game at Rupp, their coach gave the crowd a finger and refused the post-game press conference in a loss, okay?
And it wasn't the pinky finger.
It wasn't the pinky finger.
It was a long one right in the middle.
And no, he was not showing us his championship ring. There were eyewitnesses all around that saw the middle finger, and you can tell by the picture it was finger. So, say what you will.
And he skipped the press conference.
And he skipped the press conference. I'm proud to be a fan of the Commonwealth's team. Cal represents us with class, the way it's supposed to be done. And we do it the right way, okay? Enjoy the win. You've won one of the last five. That's fine. You won one of the last one, okay? Because everything's in the past, right? Well, this game happened on Wednesday night. That's in the past, too. All right? Enjoy the win. But don't ever come to me and tell me anything different. Cal represents class. The other guy does not. And it's just based upon reality. That's all it is.
And we knew going in that that's the way it would. If we lost, we knew ahead of time that that's what would happen. That Cal would be gracious, and because that's how he is. You know, we've only known him really the time he's been at UK.
The 8 years he's been here.
And, you know, we've seen the clips in the past of John
Chaney
threatening to kill him and things like that. And then, but. All we've seen here is him being a class act. And all we've seen from Patino at Louisville is just the opposite. Now, you can say all you want, well, you loved him when he was at UK, and he did the same things at UK. I don't think he did. I don't recall those things.
He didn't do those things at UK.
No, he didn't. And so you can say that all you want. I don't think that those things happened while he was at UK. I don't think we had strippers in the dorms while he was at UK. Those things didn't happen.
We know the unspokens of what's happened. And then... Well, that happened off the court and all that. Okay, fine, whatever. But the refusing the press conferences and all that, fine. But Cal, at his press conference last night, or Wednesday at the game, he made me proud again to be a Kentucky fan, because that's how you handle it. I admit, I'm not as gracious as that. I can't sometimes rise above that. I got to be quiet and go stay away from some people or whatever.
But what was he wearing in the press conference? Was he wearing jeans again?
All right.
That's the only issue I have, is him wearing jeans.
Well, there's always an issue. We're going to talk about another issue coming back here after a little short whatever I decide to play right here. We're going to come back and talk about some tripping. Grayson Allen.
KentuckyCrazies.com. Call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287. Ask a question, leave a comment, or tell us how crazy you are about Kentucky. Leave us a cat call on the Blue Phone. We will put you on a future podcast. KentuckyCrazies.com. Call right now.
Okay, we promise we're going to get to some Christmas cheer here in just a little bit, but... The top story, and thankfully, Grayson Allen decided to B, Grayson Allen once again the same night of the Louisville Kentucky game, because what he did in a game against Elon was something that really kind of took the headlines away from what was, you know, 73-70 big time game, got big ratings, but the headline has been Grayson Allen be tripping again,
wearing his elf shoes. I guess
he was he was in the Elon game, and there was a little tie up or whatever, and then basically he spun around, he did like a little flippy flop like he does, but then his leg decided to go up, trip the Elon player, and it was obvious it was on purpose. When they spun around, well, that was just him doing his typical floppy stuff, but then he got that extracurricular in there and raised up that leg, and then that was big enough of a deal when that happened.
Then after that, he did get a technical.
He got a technical, and then the guy went bonkers. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. He sat down on the bench, and I'm sure you've all seen the clip by now, but he just went bonkers on the bench, and I noticed that the coaching staff, there was one, like, you know, student manager or somebody in a suit, and he knew where the cameras were. And he moved to close off any visual. I don't know. Did you happen to notice that?
I still had other things on my mind.
Yeah.
Last night, but yeah.
They closed in a circle because he acted like a petulant little child that's not getting his way, and you know I'm gonna go throw a fit in my room until I get my way. And we've all seen that kid do it. And quite frankly, it went from like something that was, oh, there's a Dukie doing his Duke stuff again, to this kid may be off his rocker.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, Jay Williams, who's a big Dookie, you know, he even commented about it afterwards and said that he should be suspended 5 games. Really had some harsh words to say about Grayson Allen and what he had done. And I believe it was Reese Davis, who was on the game day show with him, said that, called him a toddler.
Well, it was the Virginia Tech coach. What was his name? The bald guy.
The main ESPN guys want to call him.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Hey,
Reese, okay, you're right.
Reese Davis.
I got you.
Said he was acting like a toddler. And so really, you know, they came down pretty hard on him. And then today, you know, Stephen A. Smith, who I rarely agree with anything he says, but he had come out today and said, what if instead of this being Duke and Coach K, it was Kentucky and Coach Cal?
Of course, that's something we would be saying. I'm glad somebody with a bigger microphone than ours.
Here's his exact quote. He says, "The issue I have is this was Coach John Calipari instead of Coach K. Would we be talking about Grayson Allen, or would we be talking about Coach Cal? So we're talking about Coach Cal. Why can't we talk about Coach K? Because I hear everybody on the news all over the place talking about Grayson Allen, and he's a kid." So, again, they're talking about Grayson Allen instead of Coach K. You know, so if this was Malik Monk that did this, would they be talking about Monk, or would they be talking about Coach Cal and, you know, his
We know the answer to that.
Exactly.
We know the answer. And it goes back to what I said all along about Coach K. He's built a culture of flop, culture of arrogance, and a culture of entitlement. Well, he's won 5 championships. I know there's good Duke players out there. I'm sure there's fine adults that have come from Coach K. But it's a culture where we know he teaches these techniques about flopping. There's too much of it that goes on over the years. And there's that arrogance about, now, confidence is one thing, arrogance is another. They come out there, we're better than you because we've got the Duke jersey on.
Now, they did suspend him today for an indefinite suspension, so who knows how long that'll be. I've seen comments today, it'll probably be until their next tough game, whenever that would be.
Well, they have 4 games they should win, and then they play at Louisville the 5th game, and
so
that would be the
back,
game he'll be back then.
So, if not before that. He'll probably be back the game before that.
Just to get him.
Yeah.
And incidentally, he tripped the spotting kid at Louisville last year. You know, he did 2 of them last year. And spotting for Louisville was one of the ones that he tripped.
Actually, I believe there was 3 because he did it again in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament.
That's right. And didn't he walk off the court in their loss to Oregon? He didn't shake their hands. I think that was another issue at the end of the year.
So he has some issues, and but I don't think suspending him is really going to be the end of anything that he does. But something should have been done last year, and I have a feeling that the ACC will step in and do something as well.
Well, Coach K, you know, he learned from the master, Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight bullied referees on the court in a bullying kind of way, of course. Coach K bullies in a different way. He uses this, like, pompous approach where I'm better than the other people, so I deserve more than they do. I deserve more calls. I saw one time, and it was bizarre. It was during the game, and they had the camera on him for a long time, and he was in a referee's ear. And I am not kidding you. He said repeatedly, I could read his lips, his little mouth. I could read his little
rat lips.
Little rat lips. He said repeatedly, call a foul on them. Call a foul on them. Call a, and Aaron, I'm not kidding you. He said it 50 times in a row. Call a foul on them. Okay? So he learned some stuff from Bobby Knight, not necessarily in the brute bullying kind of way, but
he wasn't calling a play called cauliflower?
Cauliflower on me. Cauliflower on them.
That's one of their offensive sets. It's cauliflower.
Well, it's again, to me, it comes from the top, this entitlement type of thing. And Grayson Allen is the poster boy of that. And Grayson, I'm not sitting there saying Coach K's telling him to do all the things he's done. But here comes a guy that is wired a certain way, and the stuff that he's being taught, we're seeing the output of that in some of his actions.
Yeah, I don't think by any means he's telling him to go out there and trip anybody.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
But by not doing anything last year that we know of that was apparent after three times doing it, he's allowed it to continue.
He played in the second half in the game against Elon.
He should have been out of that game and in the locker room and watching from there.
The fact that he played him in the second half goes to what you just said. And again, he's not telling the kids got them triple, but he is telling them to flop. That was whenever he spun around, that's the kind of stuff that they want them to do. We see it too much. Oh, the head goes back every time somebody dribbles, you know. So I'm just tired of that stuff. And, you know, of course, Bob Knight had the Neil Reed incident with the choking. Maybe, and I know this is not the same thing, but maybe this incident will shine that spotlight a little bit brighter on some of these things that they've been doing that everybody's been complaining about. This isn't just the Kentucky, you know, Wildcat fans. Go on the ACC message boards and look how much they're complaining in the last 20 years about how much Duke gets by with, quote-unquote, how much they flop, quote-unquote. This isn't just a Kentucky-Duke thing. This is a Duke thing. And maybe, again, like I said, Grayson Allen doing what he's doing, hopefully it'll shine a little light on the subject. So
I doubt it.
Because they're just better than we are.
They deserve another championship.
Yeah. Okay. Man, we're some angry old guys, aren't we? All right. We're going to take a little break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit of Christmas time because it is that time of the year.
KentuckyCrazies.com. Call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287. Ask a question, leave a comment, or tell us how crazy you are about Kentucky. Leave us a cat call on the Blue Phone. We will put you on a future podcast. KentuckyCrazies.com. Call right now.
Okay, now that we got all that off our chest,
it's not all.
No, but it helps to talk. It helps to get it out, Aaron.
This is therapy.
Yeah, it's better than throwing a fit on the bench. I know that. Or flicking off the crowd. But anyway, Christmas time. I was just wanting to, you know, talk a little bit about Christmas traditions and just learn a little bit about you, Aaron, myself. Just as a kid, like, you know, we all have our Christmas kid moments. What was like your tradition, you know, growing up with your family? And is there like a particular Christmas that you remember, a certain present or, you know, something like that as far as
Well, tradition wise, we've kind of continued my tradition on into my married life and with my kids, you know, where we traditionally do Christmas, you know, Christmas morning, you know, Santa comes at Christmas Eve night and comes down the chimney or comes through your front door, however he gets into your household and leaves all the gifts.
So that's what you did as a kid?
Yeah, you know, presents from Santa are usually unwrapped in my household. You know, so I mean, you know, everybody's different. Santa comes in different forms and shapes and
different days of the week.
But yeah, I mean, generally, we celebrate Christmas morning, even if, because this year again, I'm working. I'll be working my night shifts, so I'll get home in the morning. Luckily, my kids have always slept in, so I get off work at 8 in the morning, I get home, they're still in bed. I get home and wake them up. Come on.
Santa's already been
right? Yeah, he's already at home laid up drinking his eggnog now. So.
Was there any particular present that was like your most favorite of all time when you were a kid? Do you remember?
I don't know necessarily favorite. There's been a couple that have amazed me, which I was going to try that this year with my young son, this one. But I woke up one Christmas morning and there was a brand new TV sitting in my bedroom. How did that happen? You know, how can they get this TV? Because this wasn't, you know, the skinny, light TVs they have nowadays. This was the big console TVs that weighed, you know, 100 pounds or more. And it's going to take more than one person to get it in there. And how did, I need to ask Dad that, you know, I know they just, Santa carried it in there. But
Santa has magic tricks.
I guess he does. He wiggled and had a bunch of little elves underneath of it. And,
well, let me ask you this. Does Noel listen to the podcast?
Bits and pieces at times, but no, he doesn't. No. No. But one Christmas in particular, I remember I was laying in bed and I actually heard jingle bells, and they were coming from like our rooftop. And it wasn't just me that heard it. You know, my dad heard it as well, and my mom, she heard it as well. So we really don't know what happened. But
Santa Claus.
It was a Christmas miracle. Yeah. And I woke up that morning, and in our living room, which is where we did Christmas at, was this huge, huge box. And inside was hundreds of pieces of a train set. That was my big train set that I had when I was young. And so each piece was in this box, wrapped up individually in this box.
Oh, wow.
You know, the train cars and the tracks and whatnot. So that's the one I really remember was that Christmas.
Santa really and his elves really went overboard with the wrapping of each individual. I wonder if there was any eggnog involved with the wrapping.
Like I said, usually, you know, my mom would wrap, you know, sometimes and some she wouldn't, but it got to her, you know, the older I got, I recognized that Santa's writing was a lot like mom's.
Right, right. Well, I mean, Santa knows how everybody has different handwriting, so... Yeah, I'm sure when there was wrapping of the train tracks, there was a one-by piece and a two-by piece.
It's an inside joke.
Inside joke.
How about you? I know how you do yours, but
when I was a kid, we would always go to Christmas Eve Mass with the family, me, my sister, my mom, and dad. And we would go to Christmas Eve Mass, and it was funny because every year there would be a light in the sky that... was Rudolph's nose when we were like heading off to Mass. And when I got older, I realized that light was there in July, but I only really noticed it on Christmas. But when we got home from Mass, we had a basement. Still, my parents still live in the same house, and there's a little small window by the driveway that you can look down into the basement. And we get home from Mass and we look down into the, you know, has Santa been here? And we look in that window and we see that there was bags. We had like trash bag type stuff, you know, with presents inside of them. And we saw that Santa had been there. We go in and we change out of our church clothes and get in our comfy clothes and head downstairs. And we have, Santa had been there and we get to open everything. And as far as like particular presents, I'd say the one that there's probably a couple, but when we got Atari, I mean, and you know, you and I would trade cartridges and stuff.
I'd still like to have an Atari.
Santa that year, I got all my presents, and then I was really wanting an Atari. I didn't get it. And then, oh, wait a minute. For some reason, Santa put some stuff in the back room. And so all the cartridges that I wanted, games, you know, and Atari was in the back room, and even a black and white TV. It for my bedroom to play it on. And so
that works good with Pong.
Yeah, that worked good with Pong. Not Pitfall, but and so that was really cool. And then when I got a little bit older, when I got my first guitar, that was of course, you know, I was probably 16 when that happened, but as far as presents go, those are probably two of my highlights for sure. Of course, Aaron, you and I, we'd trade Atari cartridges, you know, Missile Command and all that. That was good times, because you know the Atari thing that lasted for years. You know, that was like a gift went on for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years.
Well, back then they didn't put a new system out every year like they do now.
It was just the new games.
Yeah, well, yeah, you would have the Atari 2600, and that got you 5 years.
Yeah,
you know, then you'd come out with the whatever the next one was, the 3600 or whatever it was, and then you also. Every 5 or 6 years is when a new system would come out. But now the Xbox One was out last year. This year's the Xbox One S. You know, when does it stop? You know?
It doesn't stop anymore. Kids these days, I tell you.
They're spoiled rotten.
We would walk.
I don't know how Cal does it.
We walk. They don't poop ice cream. I know that. We would walk across the living room with a foot of snow just to change the cartridge out on the game back in my day. So, well, what about now? I tell you just... quick one on tradition now. Really, we don't have a tradition now. It's more about like when can we get everybody together. Mm-hmm. But my highlight of the year every year is going to Mass, and my mom usually sings on Midnight Mass with the choir, and just having that, you know, church experience is really great. And of course, we get together as a family on Christmas, and this year it's going to be on Christmas Day. Other years it's been, you know, it depends on how we can get everybody together. Yeah. So it's you know, the older you get, it's family and just spending that time.
You know, and that's really what you remember, because I had made a Facebook post here a couple years ago that all of my best Christmas memories aren't from what presents I got, but it's being cramped into that tiny living room with all of my aunts and uncles and cousins and my brother, and, you know, and those are the things that you remember, and I don't remember what I got as a gift any of those years. It's the same thing as my cousin's got, I can tell you that. You know, all the boys get the same T-shirt or whatever. But,
right, right.
But I don't. But what it was being there with all the family, and the guitars would be broke out, and, you know, just those were the memories.
And Kentucky usually had just beaten Louisville, getting ready to beat Louisville. But I just wanted to share, you know, some of that with our listening audience, and send us a tweet, send us a message, let us know what. You can give us a call, 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287. Tell us what your Christmas tradition is, and let us know you're out there giving us a listen as you're sipping on your eggnog by the fireplace tonight on this Christmas holiday.
And I do love eggnog.
Oh, I'll tell you what. And I just want to end the show. I want to thank everybody in Big Blue Nation for giving us a little blip on the radar on the social media world out there. We just passed 30,000 followers on Facebook. Did it last night after the Louisville game. I was going to do a giveaway to the 30,000th person if we had won. I wasn't in the mood. So, but thank you guys for following us on Facebook. And our little website, when we started this just about three years ago, we get a couple hits a day, and I was happy. I was like, well, you know, we had 5 people on the site today, or on our website. Well, in this past month, and, you know, again, we're just a little blip on the radar trying to learn our way and find a niche. We've had over 20,000 website hits just in the last, like, 3 weeks or so. And that's something that I didn't think would happen this quick. So I want to thank everybody out there in Big Blue Nation and on this Big Blue planet. Thank you very much, and I want to wish y'all a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you, Mike.
Merry Christmas, Aaron.
And be ready for Ole Miss.
We got Ole Miss coming up on the 29th. Is it 7 o'clock Eastern?
7 Eastern on ESPN2.
Another road game. We got to see what we learned.
Check your listings now to find out what channel it's on. We already told you the time. It's on ESPN2.
What channel is it on? Enjoy your family. Enjoy your nog or your bourbon or your beer or your iced tea or whatever it is, or your cake and punch. And Merry Christmas, everybody. And
think about all those that cannot be with their families.
Yes.
For one other reason, for any reason or another, you know, military, police, firemen, factory workers, which I am. You know, I'm not going to be with my family that night either. So think about all those people, and hug your kids.
And as always, go Big Blue. Crazy Kentucky.
Follow us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Kentucky Crazies. KentuckyCrazies.com.
Listen up.
You people are crazy.
And this is all a part of my sickness.